There is our school bell, and when you hear that school bell, you know I need to get my Bible and become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. And I invite you at this time to get your Bible, and in just a moment, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 7 through 10, and Philippians 1, verses 3 through 6, as we continue our study on the New Testament story of worldwide missions. It is a Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of December the 16th, 1923. So while you're getting ready to read with us 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, I will remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. In the last class period, we were reading Acts chapter 16, and we were reading about the conversion of Lydia and her household, and how they, whose hearts were opened, heard and took heed of the things which Paul said and were baptized. And then we read about Paul being cast in the prison, and that night, singing praises to God, the prison doors were opened, and as a result, Paul was able to teach the gospel to the jailer of that prison, and before that morning was out, that prison keeper had heard the words of the gospel, believed, repented, and was baptized. Now that was the beginning of the church at Philippi. And we learn much in the New Testament and other references about that church and what they did for the poor. And in the furtherance of the gospel, sometimes it's not referred to as Philippi, but as Macedonia, because Philippi was a city in Macedonia. And so when the Bible refers to Macedonia, sometimes it's referring to that city there and that church in Philippi. Let me read to you some of the things that that church did. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5, Paul, in writing a letter to the Christians at Corinth and encouraging them to give for the poor, held up that church at Philippi, which was in Macedonia, as an example unto them. He wrote, "Moreover, brethren, we make known unto you the grace of God which hath been given in the churches of Macedonia, how that in much proof of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For according to their power I bear witness, yea, and beyond their power they gave of their own accord, beseeching us with much entreaty in regard of this grace and the fellowship and the ministering of the saints. And this not as we'd hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us through the will of God." Paul talked about how those churches in Macedonia had been helping him as he was going about preaching the gospel, sending him the things that he needed and providing him with funds so he could carry about his work. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 7 through 10, "Did I commit a sin in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I preached to you the gospel of God for naught, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them that I might minister unto you. And when I was present with you and was in want, I was not a burden on any man. For the brethren, when they came from Macedonia, supplied the measure of my want, and in everything I kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself, as the truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this glorying in the regions of Achaia. And so those brethren in Philippi had helped Paul and sustained Paul in his preaching. And they had done this a long time. Later, Paul was in a Roman prison. And again, they sent unto Paul to help him and provide for him. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, Paul, in writing a thank you note back to that church at Philippi, said, I thank my God upon all remembrance of you, always in every supplication of mine on behalf of you, all making my supplication with joy for your fellowship and the furtherance of the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And so that first day reminds us how that Lydia, having been baptized, constrained Paul and those with him to come lodge in her house while they did their work at Philippi. And that kind of generosity characterized that church all throughout the labors of Paul, even when he was a prisoner in Rome. We read this in the latter part of that epistle, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 20. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at length ye have received your thought for me, wherein ye did indeed take thought, but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and also how to abound in everything, and in all things I have learned the secret, both to be filled and to be hungry, both to abound and to be in want. I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. Howbeit ye did well that ye had fellowship with my affliction. And ye also yourselves know, ye Philippians, that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church had fellowship with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my need. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek for the fruit that increaseth unto your account. But I have all things in abound. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the things that came from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Jesus Christ. Now unto our God and Father be glory forever. Amen. What a great church that was at Philippi. And so you see how worldwide missions was financed. It was financed by the churches. They were supplying the needs for the missionaries, for men like Paul and his company, as they went out to preach the gospel. And in Philippi, both receiving funds and then giving them, sending them on to Paul, so that he might be able to preach the gospel. You know, we read in Acts chapter 15 that earlier, before all these things had taken place, where Paul and Barnabas had been working together, but the time came for them when they needed to separate and go their different ways. They actually had a disagreement about how they should go about their work. They had no disagreement that the work should be done, and no disagreement about what should be preached, but a disagreement about who they should take with them on their journeys and somewhat about where they should go. We read that Paul, with Barnabas and others, returned to Antioch from Jerusalem after his first missionary journey. He remained there some days. And Acts chapter 15 states the purpose of the visit of Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem. It is after that that Paul suggested to Barnabas that they return and visit the brethren in every city wherein they had proclaimed the word of the Lord to see how they fare. But as those of us who have studied the Bible and know, we have learned they disagreed on the propriety of taking Mark with them, Paul being unwilling to take him, because he withdrew from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. Barnabas took Mark and went to Cyprus. And Paul took Silas, and being commended to the brethren to the grace of the Lord, he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Let me read the account of this from Acts chapter 15, beginning in verse 36, and I'll read down to verse 41. Here we read, "And after some days, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us return now and visit the brethren in every city wherein we proclaim the word of the Lord, and see how they fare. And Barnabas was minded to take with them John also, who was called Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who withdrew from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And there arose a sharp contention, so that they parted asunder one from the other, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away into Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and went forth, being commended by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Paul doubtless established churches that he went to, those in Syria and Cilicia. We read in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 21 about Paul sailing to these places and establishing churches. And this is Paul's second missionary journey from Antioch of Syria. He reversed his course in this journey and went to Derbe first, then to Lystra, then to Iconium. And then we come across a young man named Timothy. You see, Timothy lived at Lystra. He had doubtless become a Christian on Paul's former visit to that place. Paul calls him his child in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 14:17, and his true child in the faith, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois were also Christians. His mother was a Jewish, his father a Greek. His mother and grandfather, grandmother, had taught him from childhood the Old Testament scriptures. We have two passages that declare this. The first is in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, where Paul writes that he had been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Writing now to Timothy, he's reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. And then we read later on in that same letter that Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15, that from a babe thou hast known the sacred writings, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. Timothy had now been in the church several years, and was well reported of by the brethren, not only at home, but also in Iconium. He had developed a character and influence, and doubtless taught the scriptures at these places. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. And he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. Acts chapter 16, 1 through 3. Let me read that text to you, where it says, "And he," now that is Paul, "and he also came to Derbe and to Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish that believed, but his father was a Greek. The same was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and he took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those parts. For they all knew that his father was a Greek." You know, Paul later, we had already read in another epistle, Paul did not have Titus to be circumcised. And sometime we might want to ask the question, why did Paul circumcise Timothy and refuse to allow Titus, a Greek, to be circumcised? We're about to run out of time in our lesson. And so we're going to pick that up in our next Bible class. Make sure you tune in. You may want to go ahead and turn and mark in your Bible Galatians 2, verses 3 through 5, because we'll be reading that. And it'll show us that difference and how we've got to use judgment sometimes in the things that we do that are not binding. I'll see you in class.